Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Don Lambro is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is chief political reporter for the Washington Times and a syndicated columnist. You'll see his byline in newspapers all over the country. And as I said, he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you back. Don, I wanted you to join us today because some things have happened recently that have gotten a lot of people's attention, certainly mine. And that is something that's been happening for the last, say, 3 weeks or so. And in Iraq, the troublemakers over there, the people who are still creating chaos in Iraq and are preventing the Iraq from settling down and becoming self-determined, are being pretty darn successful in targeting what Charles Krauthammer called our friends over the weekend. I saw an interview with him on Fox News, and he called them this targeting our friends. First, it was the embassy in Jordan. Then it was the UN building, which got one of our best allies in the UN and the UN diplomat there. And then recently, the Shiite cleric, who is the guy who was calling for Iraqis to help the Americans.
Right.
So they're not only successful in their targeting of their bombs, but it sure seems like they're getting pretty organized. I'm a little worried about that. What do you think?
Well, we're going to have bad days. We're going to have good days. The bombing of the mosque where the religious leader you're talking about, the Ayatollah Muhammad Bakir Hakim,
I'm glad you
killed.
You said that.
And he was a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you said, he was calling on Iraqis for unifying the nation, and was a supporter of our efforts to topple Saddam Hussein. And so that was at least a huge vacuum. I think others will come forward to fill that. But
they won't. But they won't now without trepidation, because that's the message that these guys are sending. These are the residual of the Baathist, the Saddam supporters. Whoever comes forward will have to know that they're in danger.
They are in danger, but you know the human spirit to be free and independent is very strong. We had bad days on the founding of our country,
mm-hmm.
and many months, not years. No one would have taken bets that we would have survived.
There was a time when
the situation you have here.
There was a time when George Washington absolutely thought all was lost. There were weeks, and if you say if not months, when he actually believed all was lost.
In this case, of course, we won the war, and now it's a guerrilla operation. But a lot of good things are happening right after the mosque bombing. There were a number of arrests. It has certainly not stopped the whole movement by the U.S. and our allies there to move forward on the number one job, which is to continue to work on security. And they have formally this week appointed the new governing council and have begun to name in this 25-member cabinet
mm-hmm.
specific ministers. Beginning with the new interior minister, these are all Iraqis representing all parts of the Iraqi population, religions, and political parties. The governing council named this Badran as the former diplomat in charge of the interior, which will be having to do with security. They're recruiting now a paramilitary force composed of Iraqi Army Special Forces troops to go after the terrorists, to go after those who sabotaged the facilities. Something like 70,000 Iraqis will be part of all this. It'll include a civil defense force, of course, police, border guards. So Paul Bremer, the head of our occupation force there, is moving on a lot of fronts. It's very complicated. But I think you have to kind of balance the bad days and the things that are happening in the ongoing battle with the step-by-step movement we're making in this bullshit. I think we have to sort of stay the course here.
Well, and it seems like if you know one of the challenges that we all have as consumers of this news and obviously very interested parties, not only as citizens of the earth but Americans and as people who either have children in that part of the world or who care about those who do. And those who are over there, which I am in that last group for sure, and I know you are, Don. But we, as consumers of this information, we have to realize that if 10 million Iraqis get water and electricity today and go to bed with their bellies full and relatively safe, that's not news, is it?
No, it isn't.
And the news are the bombs and the 12. Or however many people are running for president on the Democrat side right now, you know, that's not something that they're going to want to talk about. All, and the political cartoonists, which are always kind of funny, you know, they can't make people laugh if they say, you know, ha, 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 10 million people went to bed safely tonight in Iraq. So it's we've got to be careful when we consume this news and put it in perspective, don't we?
We do. And, of course, it's the nature of the news media to always to dwell on the bad stuff. But our brave men and women over there who are putting their life on the line. And as it has been said, this is ground zero in the war on terrorism.
It is.
I think it would be a misnomer and wrong to think of this. Well, this is just the next phase in the war in Iraq and the war against Saddam Hussein. This is now was and continues to be even more the war on terrorism being fought in that area. Foreign terrorists are piling in there from Saudi Arabia, from Syria, from Iran, and then of course you have the remnants of Saddam Hussein's forces. And this is where it has to be fought, not to wait until it gets here again.
Right.
And so there is that whole part of this struggle. And as you say, we've got to also understand everything that's going on, not just when there was a defeat and there was a bombing. I was reading here this regional governor in
Iraq. Hold on to that thought, Don. We've got to take a quick break. I'm going to let you come back to that thought. And also, when we come back, I'm going to ask Don what we've got to do to make sure that Iraq doesn't turn into another Vietnam. And when and if do we bring in the U.N.? 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Don Lambert. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Don Lambrow is our guest. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times. That's WashingtonTimes.com. If you type in Don's name into the search engine or noodle around on their website, you'll find his column. Don, what's your column on this week?
Well, let's see, I wrote it last week, so I've got to kind of think back.
I know what you
but
mean.
It's basically on the my column for this coming Thursday will be about the economy. And the future of elections. To me, the number 3.1%, that's the rate at which the economy was growing in the last quarter, revised.
Right.
A huge number.
That's
but
good
I wanted
news.
To make two or three points on what we're talking about in Iraq and this being ground zero. And just three things. First of all, in terms of the cost, a lot has been talked about. What is this going to cost? What is it going to add to our deficit? I find it a little bit untoward that we talk about national security and the lives of Americans in terms of dollars. But Bremer, of course, Paul Bremer, the head of the occupation, U.S. occupation there, brought this up. It's going to be tens of billions of dollars needed to rebuild Iraq. But we already have like 45 countries which have pledged money to the reconstruction. So that's a large number, and so that is going to be, I think, a big help, and that is going to grow. There's going to be a conference in Madrid in October of all the donors and how much they're going to give, how much they're going to support our effort there. And also we have more and more of our coalition allies sending in troops with Poles, the Bulgarians are there, a number of other countries. And I think that is only going to increase, so that will lighten the load of our own forces, many of which we'll be able to send home. And then, of course, we have the Iraqis themselves, and I think that is the nub here. We have to put an Iraqi face on the forces that are fighting for their own country. In the end, Iraq is going to be stabilized by the Iraqis. They're going to have to win this in the end with our help, the help of the coalition partners. Mm-hmm. Something like 60,000, maybe just shy of that, who are now defending their own country in various parts. And I was talking about the civil defense battalions, the national police force, and this new paramilitary Iraqi force that is going to go after the terrorists. So we've got to build that up. Bremer is doing that. There may be well over 100,000 of that civil defense force. You need them, of course, to guard the pipelines, the water facilities, the electrical utilities, because unless you stabilize the infrastructure, the terrorists are going to get stronger and the country will get weaker. So that's a big factor. All of these things are happening. It's complicated, but the stakes, it's impossible to exaggerate the stakes here in Iraq for American security and the security of our allies, as we saw with the Jordanian.
I think we're at a crossroads, Don, right now in human history with regard to who's going to be in control of the 21st century, and is it going to be the tolerant nations who want to trade with each other and let each other live and determine their own destiny, or is it going to be the intolerant ones who want to take us all back to the Dark Ages?
That's right, and we have to remember, I think we will always be fighting terrorism in one fashion or another, as far as the eye can see. But when you're talking about terrorism in a country, you have to remember the terrorists are the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And in a country of tens of millions of people in Iraq, they are the vast majority.
Right.
We've got to, and that's what Bremer and the U.S. is about doing, using the force of those tens of millions of Iraqis to go after the minority and to crush them. And that's what's going on now. That's what's going to be going on.
Right.
And there's no doubt that the majority is going to be victorious over the small number of thugs and murderers and killers.
If it weren't so, we wouldn't have had the success that we've had so far. And I've met many Iraqis and many Iranians as well, Don. And they're very wonderful people. The ones that I have met, they're very gentle, very passive people, actually. Believe it or not, they're not aggressive people at all. And so I agree with what you're saying.
Let me mention this.
Okay.
You know, again, you've been mentioning the media focuses only on the bad stuff. And nothing that never doesn't report really anything good that's happening there. The regional governor in Iraq, the Hilla and the Babel provinces, it's called. His name is Sikandar Juwad, 58. He's a former army general. He lost three of his brothers in the 91 Shiite Muslim uprising. But he was quoted in the newspaper just recently, and he's the governor of this province. We were the first in Iraq to reopen our university and our court system. We are all army officers in charge. That's why things are so safe and secure. This is in his area.
Mm-hmm.
Babel is a region of about 1.6 million Iraqis. He says, we have good relations with the Americans. So he says, I like the job, but it makes me upset that we can't provide for all our people with jobs and with electricity. So these are people who want to be free. They want to be independent. They're working with us, and it's a daily battle for them and for us. But it's important to know that there's a larger story here of people who are fighting along with us for the same things in Iraq.
And one of the things I know has been mentioned that we're not going to have time to get into as much right now is many people are saying that we don't want this to turn into another Vietnam. We're over there for different reasons, aren't we? I mean, that's the reason I think it's not going to turn into a Vietnam. We're not over there half-heartedly, I think. I think we're, as you say, I think the president and our government understands that this is the, as you say, ground zero of terrorism. We don't have a choice, I think.
We don't have a choice, because if they get rerouted there, they can come here.
That's right.
That's what the fight is all about in the end.
Yeah. Well done, Don Lambro. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Jim.
With the Washington Times and syndicated columnists all over the country. Check it out when you get a chance. 29 after. I'll be right back with Peter Meyer. Stay with me.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.